It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the line of fire.
It's great to be with you today, folks. I am coming your way live from a secret, secluded, and semi-quarantine location. And I'm with you live. Sorry I couldn't make it yesterday. I've been battling sickness this last week and just couldn't make it into the studio yesterday. We made other arrangements today, so I'm here with you live, but from a special location, but ready to take your calls. Talked about a lot of issues, what's happening in the world today, and what's on your minds. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To email me, it's askdrbrown, askdrbrown.org. Just click contact to email me. Let me tell you what we're going to do with calls today. The last few times I did You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers here on the broadcast, I pre-recorded the shows, which meant I was not able to take live calls that were coming in. Today, if you've got anything on your mind that relates on any level to the subject matter of The Line of Fire, to things that are of interest to me, comments you want to make, questions you want to ask, it could be about translation of the Bible, it could be about a doctrinal, theological issue, spiritual question, it could be about what's happening in the world and society today, as always, it could have to do with Israel, Jewish issues, moral issues, etc. Let it be interesting, though, okay? I've got stacks, as always, of questions that people have emailed. I'm not getting into those today. I've got other things I want to talk to you about, but if you've got something that you've been wondering about, you wanted to talk about, today is your day to call. I'm going to take some calls as well as talk about a few pressing issues. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And those of you who are people of prayer, if you do pray for health and strength for me and my family at this time of the year, I would be greatly blessed and appreciative. Okay. A lot of people do a lot of reflecting as we come towards the end of the year. Now, I do it on a certain level when it's the biblical calendar and what has become the Jewish New Year, but in biblical calendar, it's still the time of trumpets, wake-up call, leading to Day of Atonement. That's a sober time, normally comes September, October. But then, the regular New Year, the Western New Year, is a time when I really do a lot of reflecting. Sometimes I'll try to review the year as a whole, look back through journal entries and things like that. Sometimes I'll just take everything to the Lord in prayer in an extended way and lay my whole life before Him and do reflecting. Where am I? Where am I going? How is this lining up with God's purposes? Am I bearing fruit, etc.? What's right? What's wrong? So I want to ask you on that score a larger question, all right? How are you feeling now as we come to the end of 2009. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. You don't have to call in on this. I'm just asking a general question to each of you, all right? How are you feeling? Are you feeling settled or unsettled? Are you feeling like things are really in order, in control, or spiraling out of control? Do you feel, in general, things are getting darker, or things are getting brighter? You know, it's difficult not to project our own personal situation. Maybe you just went through a horrific church split and your whole life feels out of order, or there's just a terrible divorce in your family and your whole life feels shattered and out of order. Or maybe things are in amazingly good shape in your church, the best you've ever seen. Maybe God's been doing some great things in your personal life, and that's going to color how you see a larger picture. But if you can step back, look at the larger feeling. What would you describe it as? I would say we are really in a time of unsettled feelings. We are in a time of unsettling for a whole bunch of reasons, spiritually and naturally. And by the way, I think a lot of this can ultimately be good. I'll tell you why in a minute. But the whole feeling of being unsettled, the latest terrorism attacks, the threat of radical Islam, the continued shaking in the economy, the severe questions of the direction that our government is going, massive voter dissatisfaction, massive questions on that score, a sense within the church that we're not reaching the culture at a critical level today, a sense that things just need to change, the uncertainty of what's happening around the world, and now with news being so accessible to us, we just know what's happening around the world constantly, bombarded with it 24/7, almost whether we like to hear it or not. And that means we just all heard about the latest horrific child abduction by a sex offender, and we just heard about the latest crazy words from the leader of Iran, Ahmadinejad. We just heard this or that. So it compounds that feeling of unsettlement. Now listen, in the Lord, in the depth of our being, there should be a security in our relationship with Him. In the depth of our being, there should be a sense of all is well in our souls before the Lord. Many of you know the story of the hymn, All Is Well with My Soul in Peace Like a River. Classic hymn that's been sung for generations. The author of that hymn lost his wife and daughters. They went down in a transatlantic journey. He was then sailing across the Atlantic not long after, and the captain said it was right around here the ship went down. It was there that he wrote that extraordinary hymn of saying, it is well with my soul, amidst some extraordinary turmoil, pressure. So on the one hand, yes, we should feel everything's all right. I'm right with God. Assume you are right with God. Therefore, I'm not afraid. I'm not, oh no, what's going to happen? Oh, sorry, how's it going to get bombed? Someone's going to get taken from us. We're going to die. No. Believers should never feel like that. There's no reason for it if we're right with God and God is our Father. We should have a sense of security and peace no matter what situation we pass through. But beyond that, the sense of everything being unsettled, I think, is very healthy. Why? Because things are not the way they're supposed to be. Much of the church in North America, things are terribly out of order. Now, some of you immediately think doctrine. I'm talking about more than doctrine. I'm talking about mindset. I'm talking about mission. I'm talking about approach. I'm talking about spiritual life. I'm talking about the world changing the church rather than the church changing the world, on and on and on. So much is not right that needs to change, and there are many areas of doctrinal concern. Within our society, so many things are not right. Radical change is needed. Around the world, so much needs to change that the sense of being unsettled, I think, is actually healthy, because right now is not the time to be feeling comfy, cozy. Okay, you got money in the bank. Most people may not have that right now. Everybody's healthy in the family. Okay, you know, we didn't have a crisis in the church. Okay, I guess everything's right. No, it's not all right. It is a great time, of shaking. And it was Jerome, many centuries ago, who wrote, nothing is more to be feared than too long a peace. You are deceived if you think that a Christian can live without persecution. He suffers the greatest persecution of all who lives under none. A storm puts a man on his guard and obliges him to exert his utmost efforts to avoid shipwreck. He's talking there in the context of persecution, but there's a larger point that we can fall asleep when everything seems to be fine everywhere around us. So if that's the sense, boy, the Tea Party demonstrations, the chaos in so much of the world, the threat of nuclear warfare, the latest terrorist threat, where's the economy going? Where's Congress going? Where's the president going? On and on. And are things right within our church? Are we doing what God's called us to do and being who He's called us to be? Are there big questions that need to be asked? I don't look at that as a negative assessment. I look at that as a right and fair assessment. And it's when we take stock, and it's a great time of the year to do it. Take stock of your life. If you're a pastor, leader, maybe you can step back just from the budgetary pressures and the pressures of the needs of the flock and the pressures of the needs in your own life and family. Maybe you can step back and say, okay, God, why am I here? Why am I here? What's it all about? Why did you put me here? What did you call me to do? Each of us as individual believers, regardless of our calling or our sphere in life, it's a great time to step back and say, okay, the Word says that in the end, God's going to shake everything that can be shaken, that only the unshakable things His kingdom may remain, and the righteous, therefore, will never be shaken. Let things shake then. Let things shake so that God's purposes may emerge. And if He's the rock and the foundation of your life, you will come through strong. Shaking may not be pleasant. It may bring a lot of upheaval and a sense of deep uncertainty, but if you'll hang on and keep your feet planted more securely in the Lord than ever before, you'll see it is all for the good. All right, we'll take some calls, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Any question on your mind, any issue you want to raise to me, any dispute you want to take up, anything that remotely relates to the line of fire, we'll take some calls today. And I've got some doozies of some news stories to talk to you about when we come back. It looks like we just have a discrepancy on our clocks here. If you just got dead space there, I apologize. Looks like everything is a little bit out of sync here. But stay with us. We'll be taking your calls. We'll be getting into some fascinating news stories here on the line of fire. Don't go anywhere. 866-34-TRUTH. As always, the number to call on the line of fire broadcast. Thanks for joining us today on the Light of Fire. Mike Brown, delighted to be with you. Still fighting off some sickness, but able to join you live today. So glad to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To email me, askdrbrown.org, click contact. Just a reminder, if you missed the first segment, if you've got anything you want to talk to me about that relates even vaguely to the Line of Fire broadcast, any of the subject matter that we cover, any areas where I have even the slightest expertise or pretension of expertise, or a question you just haven't been able to get answered and you wanted to call in, the phones will be open and I will be taking some calls today, so now's a great time to call in. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Come on, what's on your mind? What are you wondering about? What is one of those questions you wanted to get answered but have not been able to get answered? We'll give it a shot. Now, on a CNET news, this is a tech site, computer tech site, there was a story a couple days back that's amazing. Sex porn Jacko, meaning Michael Jackson, top kids searches in 2009. Did you hear that? Sex porn and Jacko, top kids searches in 2009. Sex porn and Michael Jackson were among the most popular items kids searched for online in 2008, as tracked by Symantec's online family, Dot Norton. Symantec on Thursday revealed the top 100 favorite search terms among children 18 and under, found by its free online family, Dot Norton service, which helps parents monitor their kids' online searches. Through innocuous terms like Sesame Street and New Moon, a popular movie in the Twilight Vampire series, made the cut. Sex showed up fourth on the list for boys and fifth for girls, following YouTube, Google, and Facebook as the three top terms. Okay, now, I want to break these stats down for you, all right? So listen to this for a moment. Generally speaking, just boys, girls, we're not giving the age breakdown yet. YouTube was number one search item on both. Number two search item on both was Google. Number three was Facebook. Number four on boys was sex. Parents, I don't know if you realize what your kids have access to. Number five was porn. Porn. Number six, eBay, seven, Yahoo, eight, YouTube, nine, Wikipedia, 10, MySpace. For girls, number four was Taylor Swift. Number five, sex. Then YouTube, Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus, Yahoo, and MySpace. Okay. look at this. Teenagers, 13 to 18. Number four, general, this is boys or girls. Number four, sex. Number six, porn. This is teenagers. Tweeners. That's 8 to 12. Number four, sex. Seven and under. Figure this one out. Seven and under. Number four, porn. Doesn't even have sex listed there. Number four, porn. Now, is that something as they were searching this came up and then they clicked on it? How many kids seven and under know what porn is? If someone is coming against you, I'm using military terms here, with a tank, you don't come against the tank with a stick, okay? Basically, society and the devil are coming against our values and morals with a tank, and a lot of us are still just using a stick. I think we need to wake up to the reality at hand. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As we cover a bunch of issues today, let's go to the phones. Mark in Lexington, North Carolina, thanks for calling today.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Great, thanks.
Good. Listen, I've been wanting to give you a call. I've had some issues going on in the family where two first cousins married. And, of course, it's kind of, made a lot of people uneasy in the family about it. And they came to me, actually, and asked me if I knew of a passage in the Bible or something that spoke against that. And I really didn't know what to say. So just going to kind of throw the ball in your court and see what you think about that.
Sure. Of course, in our societal standards, we're surprised to hear that. We know that the closer that you are together and within family, you have more genetic issues, more health problems can come if couples have children, the closer related that they are. That being said, the only place where you're going to be able to make an argument, and you're going to have to look through it carefully, is Leviticus 18. Now, let me tell you how this would apply. This gives a list of forbidden sexual unions that God said He judged Egypt and Canaan for, not just Israel. In other words, this is not something that applied only to ancient Israel and doesn't apply to Christians today, say like, eating pork, for example. This was something that if you read the beginning of Leviticus 18 and the end of Leviticus 18, you'll see this is one of the things that God was universally against. And he said to Israel, look, this is what the Egyptians and the Canaanites do, and I'm displeased with it. Then it gives a list of forbidden sexual unions. Many of them are incestuous. So what you have to do is look through that and see, okay, does this cover first cousins? Because if it doesn't, then we don't have any clear scriptural merit for making that point. If people say, look, people in the Bible, Jacob married two sisters and that wasn't good, and Abraham, a half-sister, right, that was absolutely not supposed to be the lasting pattern. And for whatever reason, certain things unfolded the way they did, the clear standard is laid out in Leviticus chapter 18. So, Mark, take a look at that carefully. Whatever it talks about uncovering the nakedness, any of this has to do with any type of sexual union and things related to that. So take a look there. And again, if someone says, well, that doesn't apply to us, that's irrelevant for us today, say, no, this was something that God was universally against. So my principle is if God was against something in the world, then he's also against it in the church. If God's going to judge society as a whole for a certain thing, then he'll also judge the church for it. So take a look there. If you don't get further light, you can always drop us an email for more clarification on the passage, but that's the place to go, okay?
All right, I sure appreciate it.
All right, God bless you. Have a blessed new year, man.
You too.
Thanks. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Hey, if there are going to be some interesting calls today, then today is a great day to let them come in. So, back to what I was saying about internet search and what kids have access to, parents, please, can I urge you, get involved with your kids' computer habits. Make sure you have accountability software on that's reliable. Husbands and wives, talk candidly. My wife has been my accountability partner for years online. And you say, yeah, well, who needs it? Ah, if you don't need it, then you have no problem having it. If you don't have a problem, if you're not tempted ever to look at a wrong image, look, I've been tempted to, okay? Be as candid as can be. I love the Lord. I fear the Lord. I want to please him. Yeah, I've been tempted to look at wrong things from time to time. And it's wonderful that I have accountability software because it closes a door all the more that should never be open. So parents, get serious about this because the stakes are high. All right, we'll be back with more. Chris from Madison, you're up next.
The Truth Radio Network.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown with you live. Not 100% physically yet, but I couldn't sit out another day, so we made arrangements, not my normal studio arrangements, but arrangements to be with you live today. And that's one of the whole reasons we do radio broadcasts, is to talk to you directly and not to just have a pre-recorded show. So phone lines are jammed. I'm going to get to as many questions as I can. A few more wild news items I want to talk to you about. But again, today, if you've got a question, anything you've been wondering about, practical, spiritual, ministry-related, related to our country, Israel, the world, that in any way relates to our program, or you think that I might possibly be able to be of some help with, we're taking calls on just about everything today. And I may do the same tomorrow, just to give you a heads up, but we'll that's the way I'm feeling. We're taking it one day at a time. Chris in Madison, Mississippi, thanks for calling today.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, I was, I've been reading the book of Daniel, and I'm just trying to get, refresh my memory on some things. I've kind of lost touch with the book, and I'm trying to remember, at the end of chapter 2, Daniel is with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there's a part when, you know, the king later puts the three in the fire. But I guess my question is, and you may be able to answer this real quickly, where was Daniel when the three went off into the fire? I would have thought he would have been with them.
Actually, if you're looking in the third chapter, it only mentions the three right there.
Okay.
Daniel's request, the king appoints Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, chapter 2, verse 49. And then chapter 3, they happen to be tested. So, you know, Daniel 6, it only mentions Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. It doesn't mention them. So
yeah.
It could be in this particular case, they got found out for their refusal to bow down to the statue. And, of course, God was miraculously with them. And then in another case, people went after Daniel, and they didn't go after these guys. You can't picture kind of a police state where every person's actions was totally known 24/7. But in this particular case, we can be quite sure that Daniel didn't bow down. And there may have been others who didn't bow down, but these three were the ones that were found out. Maybe they did it together. Maybe it was very clear in the way things happened. But that's the only answer. Just like in Daniel 6, they're not mentioned in terms of the lion's den, but you can be quite sure that they were not obeying the king's wrong edict there either.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I would look at it just like persecution. You get one guy preaching from a pulpit who gets arrested, another guy preaching the same message from a pulpit doesn't get arrested, but maybe 2 years later it gets reversed and one guy gets arrested and the other doesn't. This is kind of the way it works.
Okay. Thanks a lot,
Doctor. All right. God bless you. Have a great new year, Chris.
You too.
Thanks. 866-34-TRUTH. Thea in Raleigh, thanks for calling today.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, I don't know if there's anything in the Bible about people not being able, you know, when you aren't able to have children, you know that children are love and that God loves children, and when you're not able to, we're just feeling that we're having problems fitting in church families because we don't have children
yeah.
and we're unable to.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if it had... Go
yeah,
ahead.
Thea, let me ask you this. How long have you and your husband been married?
We've been together for 20 years.
Okay, so it's been quite some time now.
Yes,
and how long ago did you realize that you were unable to have children?
10 years ago.
Got it. Certainly, in the biblical world and in the biblical promises, there's no question that children are a blessing. We know that. And when women were unable to conceive or the man was impotent, that was obviously a thing of spiritual crisis, and there'd be praying and crying out. And many times God would promise, just like healing of physical sickness, then also people being able to conceive and have children. but I fully understand that there are cases where that doesn't happen. And it's a shame that the church doesn't have a better mechanism, Thea, to reach out to everyone, mm-hmm. and to incorporate people who just, okay, you're married for years, but you don't have kids, so what's the category? You don't fit with the singles, but then
right.
how do you fit with the married couples? It's
or
it's a bit of a quandary.
Answers, you know.
Right. Let me ask you this. How do you and your husband feel before the Lord, and that you haven't been able to have kids? Have you said, okay, we just have...
Yeah, we feel that it's his choice, and it's his will, not our will.
Right. Then let me suggest this to you then, Thea. I don't know that this will simplify matters, but I would encourage you, because you're in a situation where you don't have all of the needs that others have. You don't have the demands on you 24/7 of, you know, caring for the 2-year-old or working with the 6-year-old and so on and so forth. Of course, you would have gladly had those. But since
right.
since you don't and you're resolved about it before the Lord, I would encourage you to say, okay, how can we figure out ways to be a blessing to more couples, especially folks our age, friends that have kids? How can we be ministers of life to them? And it may well be that with the extra time, energy, and even finances that you have, as you look outside of yourselves and begin to, and I don't mean you've never done this, but if you just posture yourselves to say, okay, we have more time, we have more energy, we have more finances, how can we be a greater blessing to the body here, or perhaps make ourselves more available to God in His service outside of the body? You might open up a whole new path, and with that, I believe new friendships will come your way, new relationships, new doors will open. And this is not my standard answer, because your question is not a standard question.
Right.
It's just what I feel on my heart to encourage you, and to step back and say, okay, we feel this is our situation before the Lord. Let's make every effort to use our extra time, energy, finances, either to make ourselves more freely available to the Lord for His service, wherever it takes us, locally or around the world, or let's see what we can do. Let's really pray and look for ways to bless those within the body that have kids, that have these issues. And, you know, the Jesus principle, if you save your life, you lose it. If you lose it, you find it. And the way to receive is to give. Perhaps the Lord will open up something wonderful and new for you as you do it. And if that's the case, I'd certainly love to hear back. But shoot me a note either way. Let me know
okay.
how things unfold, okay?
Thank you,
I appreciate
Dr.
it. Have
appreciate
a blessed
it.
New year.
You
All right,
too.
God bless.
Thank you. Hope you feel better. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-8-7884. Let me try to grab one more call here. Sean in Salt Lake City, thanks for calling today.
Yes, sir. First, I want to say thank you for your radio station. God bless you and your staff for preaching the word and the truth through the Bible. I appreciate that.
It's our privilege. Thank you.
Well, my thing is, it's a crazy, wild story, but I'm from Kentucky, and my wife and I have been married for 2.5 years, and she abandoned our family one day while I was at work and took our 6-month-old daughter out here to Salt Lake City. And
oh, my.
Yeah, and so it took me 7 months to find a job where I could be near my family to try to reconcile with my wife, where she told me there was still hope in our marriage. And well, I came out here, and things were good for a while, but the gist of it, Dr. Brown, is that she had been separated. She went from a cult being raised all her life into Mormonism. And take
hey,
away
Sean,
from,
let me just jump in. Hang on through the break, okay? Stay with us, and then as soon as we come back on the other side, we'll talk through this more and get some wisdom from the Lord. Hang in there. God bless you, Sean. All right, friends. Hey, some real needs out there. A lot of hurting people. Let's see how Jesus can be exalted in each of these situations. Stay with us. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way live, not 100% physically, but live enough to be with you and take your calls. 866-34-TRUTH. Phones have been jammed, so you can always email me at askdrbrown.org and then click contact. Back to Sean in Salt Lake City. Hey, thanks so much for holding. Sean, how long were you and your wife married before she left you?
2.5 years. We're still legally married. She's seeking a divorce back in Kentucky because that's where she filed. But
right.
So it's been since March of 2009.
Yeah, I'm so sorry to hear it. And did you get married as believers?
Yeah, I thought I did. She told me she was a Christian, and that's why I fell in love with my wife, because she had, I finally, you know, I realize now why God didn't let me get married in 38 years when I first got married, is because I was trying to find the partner in life that felt the passion and love for Christ as I did, not someone.
Yeah. You know,
and she was, and I prayed with my wife every day. We read together, and we went to church together. And then here's the wild story, Dr. Brown, is that when this certain man in her life, who she called her father, which he wasn't biologically a father, he died out here in Idaho somewhere. Her friend called and told her, said, "Do you really want to know who this guy is?" And she said, "Yeah." She goes, "He's not the man who you thought he was. He was a manipulator, a sexual pervert. He was communicated, I guess, from the Mormon church and started his own little clique."
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
My wife was raised in that for 18 years, and she was separated from her mother and her father. And then when I met her, and she told me how she had lived and the kind of business they were in, and all these women in one house lived together for 12 years, I said, "Jenny, it sounds like, you know, you're in a cult." She goes, "You know, that's what everybody says." But certainly,
yeah.
When he died, she found out that that's exactly what she had been living in. Her whole world turned upside down. Her whole idea of on God had flipped, and all these, and then she came, and I let her fly out of here to Utah to be reconciled to her family, which I was always for. I always pushed for her.
Right.
I said, "Why don't you call your family and tell them we're having a baby?" And she just resisted and resisted. I said, "Jenny, it's your mom and dad's. Tell them you're having a child." Well, when this man died, this her, quote-unquote, dad, she came back. It was a year ago around Thanksgiving, and we got to go to church one morning, and she said, "I'm going to the Mormon church today." And I went, "What?" And she said, and it just blew me away. And she took.
Sean, yeah, just for time's sake, because I know this is painful and complex. How can I help now? Where do things stand, and how could I be of help?
Well, I'm calling you just to let you know that I know there's men and women out there listening who are in troubled marriages who think they can't make it. But I just want to reassure those people that the fight is worth it if you're one in Christ, because marriage is about a relationship with Christ and with each other. And I just want to assure people that marriage is worth the fight, and it's, you know, you're not promised a happy life here on this earth, but we can obtain holiness in Christ if we're one with Him. And I'm just praying for your listeners to never, ever give up on their marriage and always love their wives in every circumstance, because I still choose to love my wife regardless of what she says and does.
Hey, Sean, that's an extraordinary witness and something that must be sounded clearly in this day when divorce is so cheap within the body of Christ. And coming from you, it carries a lot more weight. You want to be praying for our listeners. We want to pray for you right now. And Sean, you know Ephesians 5, that Jesus gave himself for the church.
Yeah.
And let that continue to be your posture for your wife. You just give yourself for her in prayer in any way that you can, and God's love can change her. God brought you together. God's love can change her. So let's pray right now. Father, we lift up Sean and Jenny to you, and we pray for a miracle. We come against every satanic purpose and device that would destroy, that would hurt, that would cast down, that would separate. We pray, God, that what you have joined together, no one, nothing would be able to separate. I pray for supernatural love and grace in Sean, that it would literally transform his wife's heart, that she would love him more in the end than she ever has in her life, and that this family would be reconciled as a lasting testimony to you. May love win. May love win. Your word says love never fails. May your love through Sean be so powerful and extraordinary that it'll save this marriage and be a testimony that'll shake and save many, many other marriages. What Satan means for evil, Father, turn for good. In Jesus' name. Hey, Sean, thanks for sharing that, opening up, and let's trust God for the impossible. He's more than able. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Brown.
Bless you, man. May the new year bring you special blessings. Hey, Linda, you've been on hold forever. Right after the break, Linda and Jeff, we will get to you, so stay with us today on The Line of Fire.
Come to every tribe and tongue, it's in the revolution.
so much for being with us on the Line of Fire broadcast today. I can't tell you how I hate missing a show, and yesterday was one of the rare ones missed through sickness. So it's been great to be with you today. Looking forward, God willing, to be with you live tomorrow. New Year's Eve. Excuse me. Just that little cough to remind you that I'm not faking the sickness thing. Who would fake the sickness anyway? All right, listen, let me get to one more call that's still hanging on. Linda in Greensboro, thanks for holding. I'm all ears to your question.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. First, I just want to say that if Sean, your previous caller, is still listening, God bless his heart. I just felt my heart crying for him, and he's going to be in my prayers, too.
Oh, thank you, Linda.
He's going to have a beautiful testimony someday, both him and his wife and his baby. My question to you is, I'm a new Christian, and I found something a little perplexing to me, and that is somewhere in the New Testament, and I'm sorry, I don't know the passage in the book, there were, Christ had said to some people, get away from me, I don't know you, and they said, did we not cast out demons in your name? I mean, that's a big job. If you are mm-hmm. casting out demons, you are standing before people and saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, get away from me or leave this person. Did we not, you know, do all these miracles in your name? And
yep.
then other parts in the New Testament, it says, all you have to do is call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm confused because if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. But then here are these people who did all this great work, apparently, through their life, casting out demons and gave
right.
them poor and went to church, and then they meet Christ, and he says, get away from me, I don't know you.
Got it. All right. Well, it's a serious passage, so let me, in the couple minutes I have, answer for you.
Thank you.
First reference is Matthew 7, 21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, etc. You quote it, then I'll declare to them, I never knew you, go away from me, you lawbreakers. And then Acts chapter 2 and Romans chapter 10 are quoting Joel 2, that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, meaning that salvation is being made universally available beyond the borders of Israel, and anyone has the special access to the God of Israel now by calling out for salvation. So how do we reconcile that with Matthew 7? There are a few things. It's possible, number one, that they were self-deceived and lying. In other words, they thought they were doing all these mighty things in his name, but it was either imaginary or counterfeit, so that they really weren't true disciples at any point. And
so they weren't really casting out demons.
Right, that's one possible way to read it. In other words, I'm reading the same text you are, with the same Bible for larger context. We don't have extra information beyond that. So that's one excellent possibility, that they were deceived and that this was done with counterfeit power. There's another possibility, which is this. The words of Jesus, I never knew you, go away from me, those words could be used in Jewish thinking for excommunication. In other words, even though we hear I never knew you meant never ever, that meant I now have nothing to do with you. So it's possible that these were people that one time really did know the Lord, were really working with him, and being used in power, but then turned away from him, were living in sin, rejecting him, because the one who's truly saved will turn away from evil, according to the scriptures. 2 Timothy 2:19, the one who's truly saved will make a break with evil, and it appears that these people didn't. So either they were never truly saved in the first place, or the other possibility, they were saved, they worked miracles, they turned away from God, and they were therefore cast out of his presence. Because working miracles is not the key to salvation, but crying out to God and turning from evil in obedience to him is what marks us as one of his. Hey, Linda, thank you so much for the question. Folks, if you didn't get through today, I'm going to try to open up the calls tomorrow, and I still have some wild news to talk to you about, God willing, tomorrow, right here on the Line of Fire. Be blessed.
The Truth Radio Network.